Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
It was definitely weird going into it for agency. You know, a lot of things are in the dark. You're just kind of wondering what teams are going to want you and wondering what teams are going to, if Buffalo's going to want you back in my situation, you know. So it was definitely keeping me on my toes until this past Monday, until yesterday, you know. So just being anxious and looking forward to it. But it's been exciting, and I'm really pleased with how it turned out.
We welcome in Matt Perino, covering the Buffalo Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard and the Shout podcast as well. There he is, AJ Epineza, back with the Buffalo Bills. Matt, I want to talk a lot about what's gone on here the last 7 days with the Buffalo Bills, but I first want to know how your vacation was, buddy. I mean, let me geek out a little bit here as a Disney dad like yourself. Did you have a good time at the most magical place on earth? Did the family have a good time? And tell me about that road trip back.
Oh, dude. I mean, it felt like two different pieces of time because the week in Disney was magical all the way up until our final day at the park, Magic Kingdom. My daughter turned 6 years old that day. She had they did the whole nine. They got her dressed up like a princess. They did her hair, all the things. It was the perfect day. Got back to the house at like 8:30, and at 10 o'clock, my son started puking. So 12 hours. Oh. And it was one of those all-nighters in the bathroom, tagging in and out with my wife. Just a stomach bug for the ages. And then our flight gets canceled, so we have to rent a car and drive back because she had to get back to work. And so, because I could kind of do my job from anywhere. That's kind of the luxury of this thing. But we had to get back. So we hop in the car. My son just gets back to the point where, like, he's at least able to like go out and do and like take him to the airport, go through all that. We get about halfway through the ride, and then my daughter starts throwing up in the car driving back. And then we get to PA, about an hour and a half away, and we hit this unbelievable snowstorm, and then I start throwing up.
Oh my God.
It's this unbelievable series of events that leads to, you know, getting back here yesterday morning and absolutely collapsing on my couch. I was dead man walking yesterday. Like, I could not even stand up, which was perfect timing for the start of free agency. But I'm bouncing back today. I'm back in a big way, ready to talk some Bills.
Yeah, Matt, I guess my one question before we get to the Bills is this, because so many of us, myself included, what's the balance when you're on a family vacation, but work comes knocking? I mean, like, our fathers didn't have to deal with this stuff. They went on vacation. But Matt, you're down in the best place, for a family vacation, many would say. And yet so much Bills news was happening while you were down there.
Well, I think me and my wife were talking about this. We learned a valuable lesson, and we're not going to go on vacation the week before free agency next year, just in case. Maybe not the best timing. But when you're going, I mean, Danger knows, when you're planning these trips, I mean, especially when you're coordinating with family, like, finding the perfect spot for everybody never is really possible.
Correct.
So it was a wild week. And luckily, the day that everything happened with all the releases was our off day, our pool day. So I was able to kind of just, we were all relaxed and chilling anyway. And I kind of had to just punch in. That's the gig too.
All right, so let's go back to last Wednesday, because I think that was a transformational day. We'll talk about the moves that were made that day that have led to the moves that we've had here over the course of the last couple of days. The Mitch Morse thing, it feels like that was universally kind of surprising to a lot of people that are close to this team. And I know Gino is curious as to how Brandon Bean was able to talk Von Miller into taking the kind of deal that he is going to play under here in 2024. Your thoughts on last Wednesday, the red wedding for Brandon Bean?
Yeah. So I think the Von Miller question is actually a cool place to start, because I think the seeds for this kind of relationship have been planted over the last couple of years. And it goes back to the way that Bean and Miller have kind of gotten close on the scouting trail, right? Like, Miller wants to be a GM on the other side of this. So he's kind of brought him along and, like, you know, almost like been a mentor to him in that way. And I think they have a closer relationship than most GM/star players. Not to mention, then you throw in the fact that when everything happened with Vaughn in November, you know, the Bills stood by him. And, you know, they have the Matt Araiza situation in the history there that, you know, they moved off of him. Obviously, different circumstances and a much different situation. But again, something that, you know, at the time was not really painted in a very good light. Now, the Bills, I asked Brandon about this at the Combine, like, about where they're at in terms of being comfortable with what they know about Von Miller still. And he doubled down on it even more, saying that all the information that they have, they feel like they made the right decision then and sticking with him now. So I think when you come to the table then and start to talk about what's best for the organization, all the money that you have made, Von Miller has been very upfront about the fact that he underperformed last year. And I think you say, listen, you got to take less money here. Give us a chance to at least add, compete. We're doing all this other things. We're hopeful that you can get back to the guy that you're going to be, and we're going to write it into the deal that we're going to give you incentives that if you do, you're still going to get paid. But this just seemed like the best possible scenario. The Morse thing, it's interesting because Mitch Morse, to me, I think I've talked about this with you guys in the past. Whenever you start talking about retirement, professional athletes, I always feel like that's the beginning of the end. And I think it was like 2 years ago when, you know, Mitch was going through all those, the concussion issues, and that kind of starts to creep in and you start kind of contemplating things like that. And then he goes into this stretch of 2 years where he's pretty healthy, right? Like, we're to the point where going into this offseason, I don't think anybody's thinking about that anymore. But, you know, just to think about, you know, we were a couple of years removed from thinking, all right, we could be in the final stages of his career. Now he's going on to Jacksonville. He signs a 2-year deal. I didn't anticipate them moving on from Mitch Morse, but the more we've gotten into this over the last week, the more it kind of makes sense, especially, you know, with the belief that Connor McGovern can play that position. David Edwards never felt to me like a backup player. And that's why when I put him as my number two priority for the Bills coming into this offseason, it was based on the fact that, okay, you have McGovern and Torrence, but he's one play away from becoming your starting guard, and he becomes a real luxury at that spot. And now placing him as starting left guard, it kind of makes a little bit more sense. It's a tough decision. Brandon Bean has to make tough decisions at this stage of this build. Any kind of emotional decisions, I think, can really cost you and can set you back. And obviously that probably brings us to Trey White, which, you know, for weeks and weeks, I was talking about this being a real possibility and people talking about the dead money and what he meant to the organization and all those things. And I get all that. And I'm sympathetic to all of that. But you have a salary cap situation that was very dire that needed to be fixed. And I just don't know if you can gamble on Trey White getting back to the player that he was, all while, you know, footing the bill that contract presented.
Yeah, we are talking to Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, the Shout podcast. We'll tell you when the next one would drop. Another surprise to me, and you could say, well, it's not a surprise that Jordan Poyer got released, knowing the age. And I think, Matt, with the idea that Micah Hyde, we still don't know what his plans are, but if Hyde were to return, that would be a surprise to me. The idea that you're going to have this complete makeover at the safety position. So where do the Bills kind of go from here? I mean, because it's nice to have depth players like, you know, Cam Lewis and Taylor Rapp. And I would hope that the Bills would invest more in that position.
Those are depth players right now.
Yeah, right.
Those are the starters.
Right.
Like, those are the guys right now. And then you think about DeMar Hamlin, a guy that started a lot of games for them 2 years ago. I know it was kind of a bounce back season for him and somebody that wasn't relied upon. But I think the fact that he's still on the roster means that they're comfortable, you know, being in a spot where he ends up being the fourth safety or at least competing for that spot. And don't forget, they have 11 draft picks. I mean, there's a world we live in if they don't do anything in free agency that they can draft two safeties and hope to find one there. I think defensively, schematically wise, they've landed in this defense that plays heavily in the dime package, especially on third downs. So I think, like, at the very least, that's Cam Lewis to me is this year's Taylor Rapp at the worst. I think Taylor Rapp fits into that Jordan Poyer role. And then they either draft a guy like Cameron Kitchens, who I was very high on at the combine, had a big week at the Senior Bowl. That to me is your, you know, prototypical find in the draft to become, you know, that guy that you develop. Or they could still make a move in free agency. There's a lot of guys still out there. Cameron Curl from the Washington Commanders. Jeremy Chin is the name that's been thrown around there. Jeffrey Simmons, who got released by the Denver Broncos. There's a lot of names out there still. That's one of the more talent, you know, plush positions. The thing with safety, though, is, and I think to me, Rapp and Lewis fit the mold for what Sean McDermott did in 17 when he came in. I mean, I know a lot of people remember the Justin Jefferson play with Cam Lewis, but I think there's a little bit more meat on the bone for what he can be in this defense. And that two-year, $4 million contract, sure, he plays special teams, but to me, that says a little bit more about what they think about him than just being a depth player. I think there's a world we live in where he starts. On a separate note, I don't know if you guys caught Jordan Poyer's videos. He posted two videos from Costa Rica where he goes every offseason the last couple of days. And I wanted to listen just to see if anything popped up. And one of the things that he said in there that I thought was really alarming was that he didn't know if he was going to play football anymore. That'll be a decision that comes up later down the road, which, you know, I thought coming off of last season and the initial reaction that he had talking about, you know, getting fired and what that felt like and something that he was, you know, went through his career just cringing at the possibility of that happening. That's alarming to me. All right, what's the next spot going to be for Jordan Poyer? What's the future hold for him as well? And we all know Micah Hyde and him considering retirement. It's been such an interesting offseason. This has been the most interesting offseason that the Bills have had since I started on the beat in 2018.
So for all of the unpredictability of last Wednesday, we have legal tampering going on right now, Matt. And tell me if you're anything like us, because I feel like we've kind of telegraphed every move that Brandon Bean has made, which may not be a good thing, because if we can do it, then the rest of the league kind of knows what your priorities are and what you're doing. I mean, yesterday when Leonard Floyd got signed, we were on the air saying, all right, now the Bills are going to start signing their own guys because they've got their plus two in the comp pick formula with Gabe Davis signing in Jacksonville and Floyd signing with the Niners. And then sure enough, 5 minutes later, it's AJ Epineza. Later that night, it's Daquan Jones. Is Bean settling, or is he actually trying to work that comp pick formula to his advantage here for 2025?
I mean, yeah, he's probably trying to work it, but what, you know, they were excited about a third round pick and what it ended up being a fourth rounder. Not to say that he's not happy to get that extra pick, but they don't have a third rounder. And you wonder if they made that deal, thinking at the deadline, thinking that they were going to have a third rounder and they'll give up their own. And now they don't. And it's a whole round later. So I don't know if it necessarily predicts all of the movement that they make or the decisions that they make, but I definitely think it plays a factor. I mean, go back to last offseason. You can make an argument that Connor McGovern was the most important free agent acquisition. It really solidified that offensive line. I think that's an argument I'd listen to. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you can say that any free agent made a bigger impact than Leonard Floyd. And he didn't go into the comp formula because they signed him in June. So there's talent you can find at every wave of free agency. And I think that's the way that Brandon Bean is going into this thing is like, okay, these are our priorities. Let me see what Daquan Jones and AJ Epineza can find their market at, and then we'll see if we can't offer something that's competitive, but not over the top and something that, okay, do you want to chance it in the unknown, or do you want to come back to a place where you know you're going to have a huge role? I mean, Daquan Jones, we already know what he means to this defensive line and how good he's been at times when he's been healthy. But for Epineza, I put in my story up this morning, he only played 34% or 36% of the snaps last year compared to 53% for Leonard Floyd. With Floyd now gone, depending on what they do in free agency or the draft, even if they draft a guy, I mean, Epinesa's snap count is going to soar in 2024. So he's betting on himself. The AJ Epineza deal to me is one of those quintessential Bean brilliant moves because you now have a guy that you're not paying a ton. You're getting him at $6 million a year for the next 2 years. Great. But you're also getting a very motivated player that's basically in two contract years. Like, he wants to get back to the negotiating table in 2 years for his one last big bite of the apple. And so you're going to get the best version of AJ Epineza just when you need him to the most, potentially as a starter. I really like the moves. I think they can work in that second and third, and especially that fourth wave when, you know, nobody was expecting a player of Leonard Floyd's ability to be available at that stage, but it was the most important move he made last offseason, arguably.
Yeah, no doubt. Matt Perino, Shout Podcast, Syracuse Post Standard. Matt, so much has happened since we last talked to you, and there was also a trade from last week. I'm bringing this up for a reason. Bates going to Chicago for a fifth-round pick, but that's the first of the fifth round, so it's not a bad pick. Here's my question. The 11 picks now that Buffalo has, what's more likely? You're going to take those picks? Brandon Mee's going to move up in round one or two, make sure he gets his guy? Or is there something to be said that, hey, virtually every position here needs to be kind of replenished here? Like, keep the 11 picks, and maybe if you can get 8, maybe even 9 guys in the opening day roster. How do you see Brandon Bean now using all these picks coming up in April?
Oh, I think you're looking at a very tactical Brandon Bean getting ready to go to the war table, right? Like, he's going to be probably very active. And I'm not necessarily saying he's going to trade up in round one, but I think going in with 11 picks gives you the kind of ability to move up and get guys specifically in 2, 3, and 4, where I feel like the Bills have had misses the last couple of years. Not necessarily with the guys that they've taken, but guys that they may have missed out on because they didn't have the capital to get up in those rounds. And so now with 11 picks, you can be a little bit more aggressive. And I really like the scenario of, okay, sit at 28. If the guy that you love is there, great. If not, trade back maybe 10 spots, get a guy from a group of guys that you like, add even more capital that gives you the more resources to get up again in round 2, round 3, and round 4. So you come away with, at the very least, 4 guys that you have super high grades on, because I think there's so much value at the beginning of the second and third round that a lot of teams, like I look at Detroit as a team that's really taken advantage of this the last couple of years. Part of that's because they've been bad until this last season. And so they've had those, you know, they've been positioned there anyway. But if you hit on those picks, I feel like there's a lot of talent there. I think the Bills are in a really good spot to be strategic in the way they move up and down, maybe more so up in the later round.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Matt, with all of the free agent moves here during legal tampering, one thing that we've kind of noticed, it feels like it's a trend. All of the top running back free agents have already been claimed, and really Gabe Davis is the only big name wide receiver free agent that's been claimed. There's a lot of names that are available at the wide receiver position. Do you think the Bills are getting involved in that wide receiver free agency market ahead of the draft, where we all expect them to invest in wide receiver as well?
Yeah, I definitely think they're going to try to add a receiver. It's got to be the right price, though. Like, I thought Darnell Mooney was a guy that was really interesting, but at that Gabe Davis contract at 3 for $39, I just don't think the Bills have that money right now to hand out. And not that I'm saying that they would even consider it for Gabe Davis, but, you know, that's the part of the pool the Bills just can't swim in right now, especially in a loaded wide receiver class where you could double dip here coming up next month. and, you know, just roll with that, and you don't have to pay that high price tag. I still think there's some guys out there that are super intriguing. A guy like Curtis Samuel, if you can get him on a 2 for 12 or something like that, is really intriguing. Obviously, Brandon Bean was in Carolina when they drafted him, and Joe Brady had him in Carolina for his year as the offensive coordinator. So there's familiarity there. If they really like him, that could be something that I think would be intriguing. And I think he gives you a lot of different things. I think he gives you some of that downfield explosiveness, but also some of that running after the catch in the short and intermediate area. DJ Chark, somebody I liked last year. He got a little bit more than I thought he would. Maybe that price tag comes down a little bit. And then, you know, a guy that's kind of off the rate, I wouldn't close the door on Odell Beckham Jr. if the money's right. I know people don't really want to talk about that. I got absolutely blown up in our insider chat when I even mentioned him as a potential option. Bills fans are kind of over that saga from what I've kind of taken in over the last couple of weeks. But I'm not crossing that up the list. But one off the radar guy that I think is super interesting, former second round pick, Donovan Peoples-Jones, who played in Cleveland, had himself a really good year. I think in year two, went on to Detroit, just couldn't find a role there. He can be a very low end option that gives you some of that boundary presence that I think the Bills would like, and a guy that's kind of just like a roll of the dice, wide receiver 3 at best, wide receiver 4 or 5, somebody with some upside and, you know, size, speed that they might like.
Matt, last one for me, and I'm going to make a statement, and you tell me if it's true or false. The Buffalo Bills, despite all the cuts last Wednesday and their cap issues, their opponents in the AFC East have not made up any ground here in free agency.
Truth. That is the most truth that you've spoken all day, Gino. I am very underwhelmed with what the Jets and the Dolphins have done. And, you know, the Patriots, to me, are only going to be real if they find a quarterback. And we won't know about that until the draft and then likely until the season starts. So, you know, I think the Jets going out and getting Tyrod Taylor is definitely an upgrade at the backup quarterback situation, but they're still going to have to play Aaron Rodgers, who whispering, I don't think is very good anymore. Yeah. So yeah. That whole problem exists. I also don't like the vibe in New York with the Jets. You got Sauce Gardner, who comes out today, if you saw, talking about poking shots at Mecole Hardman, talking about not knowing what it's like to win. And I'm sitting back and like, what has Sauce Gardner won? I mean, the dude has been honest, on teams that have been losers his first 2 years. And like, he's an elite talent. Don't get me wrong. He's a great player. But I don't think anybody in that New York locker room needs to be screaming about winning culture, or learning how to win or anything like that. I don't know. The vibes there just aren't great. And I thought I was taken aback at Deion Dawkins being so willing to come out and aggressively go after that Jets defense the way that he did on that podcast a few weeks ago. I don't like the vibes there. And then in Miami, you know, Shaq Barrett is a nice kind of contingency plan based on the Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips injuries. But I still don't know offensively if they're getting better on the offensive line this offseason. Like, they've not been able to do that year in and year out. Everybody's freaking out about Robert Hunt being gone. I don't even know how good he actually was. And he got absolutely paid. So I don't know. I think the uncertainty around Tua, what are they going to do with his contract? The Tyreek Hill eventually going to lose some of that speed, which makes him such an elite player. I think that's in play. I've been talking about that the last 2 years. It hasn't happened yet, but eventually it's going to. When he loses even a quarter of a step, he just becomes not the same player. So I'm interested to see if that maybe happens this year at some point. If I'm the Bills, I'm sitting here in this division thinking I have Josh Allen. I have, for the most part, bringing back the offense around him, year two of Joe Brady. I'm excited about that. And you run this thing back with a more healthy defense. And I think even going into the draft, you're still in a pretty good spot.
When you look at the idea that Tua could get paid somewhere in the ballpark of 45 to 50 million per, and you also consider that Josh Allen, after this restructure, will count as over 60 million on the 2025 Bills salary cap. When does Josh Allen get a new contract with the Buffalo Bills, Matt?
Say that again.
When does Josh Allen get a new contract with the Buffalo Bills?
That's a good question. I mean, they're going to have to re-up this thing at some point, because right now his average annual is just so crazy where he's at, considering the player that he is. And I think eventually, like, there's probably some caponomics that I'm just not up on, that doing the renewed deal will put you in a better cap situation long term. I mean, I'm pretty sure Tom Brady did it once or twice during his tenure there. And I think Josh has been on the record as saying he's more than willing to play that kind of ball to put the team in a position to, you know, bring in players and sign guys to contracts. You know, they're doing the restructure now, pushing some of it down. I'd say maybe even next offseason, as early as next offseason, to start talking about it.
Matt, appreciate you making some time here after getting back from vacation. What is coming up here at Syracuse Post Standard and the next Shout podcast we can go check out?
Yeah, the next Shout podcast is happening in about 5 minutes. So I'm going to hang up with you guys and get on there and get after it. We'll have you covered at the website all week long, and we'll have a reaction podcast as big moves, if any big moves happen.
All right, Matt, appreciate the time, man. Welcome back home. Hope you enjoyed your time. Well rested now, back at it, and we appreciate you spending some time with us in the sports bar this afternoon.
Good to catch up, boys. Take care.
You got it. There he is, Matt Perino, covering the Buffalo Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard.
Ever been in the car with sick kids? That does not sound like fun.
Yeah, no, man. Car sickness happens. I was that sick kid when I was a kid. I always got car sick. I mean, I don't know what it was. Could it be the driving without air conditioning in a car that you have parents smoking in the car, windows rolled up? I mean, maybe, just maybe, that had something to do with the motion sickness. I don't know. Could be.
Your mother smoked?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
but I didn't think she did.
No. Just like this. Dad run this morning, and it's chilly outside, and I go drive. I'm running by a driveway, and a guy's in the driveway sitting in his truck, window rolled down, and he's burning one, and I can smell it from the sidewalk. I'm like, look, I'm not judging anybody harshly or negatively. If you've made the choice to smoke, that's your choice. But man, I for the life of me can't understand how for so long nobody questioned, like, is this really good for us? This doesn't seem like a good idea. The smell now is almost like instant nausea, almost instantly. I don't know what it is. It's been that way for me my entire life. I've never smoked. I don't smoke. I never once did any of that. Even when you go out, when you out at the bars, none of that. Because it's like an instant ick for me. I just immediately feel sick.
And now Mike Danger, a dad himself, and if you need evidence, go to our YouTube feed here online where you can see him, you know, wearing his dad's sweater.
I'm going to unzip it. We're going to get a little bit more casual now, all right? Does this make it a little bit less Mr. Rogers for you?
That's better, yeah.
Okay,
it's
good.
A little better.
I'll do that. Hey, it was a little chilly this morning. We'll get to Seth Appert, Rochester Americans head coach. He joins us here in about a half an hour. We've got some takes on tap next with I'll Drink to That.
Yeah, I'm going to give you an NBA take because it's not that we're late to the party here. Just so much has been happening. But who is the one talent right now? I don't think we talk enough about. And some thoughts here about the New York Jets, specifically one player that they signed today, and I think it's kind of cute.
There's another player who was recently signed by his team who's up to his old tricks, and I gotta tell you, I don't know if this fan base is going to react to it the way he thinks they're going to react to it.
Oh, what are we talking about? Steeler country? Let's ride.
This guy. We'll get into that with I'll Drink to That next. Your phone calls are always welcome here in the sports bar. Pull up a stool, as we like to say. 585-866-4FAN, 866-4326.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.